Machine. Fridge Podcast, hello and welcome to another weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast. Real beer, real breweries, real opinions. As always, when you've listened to this episode, you subscribe and hit that ding-a-ling-a-ling to be notified of all the latest episodes. You can show your official support by heading to our Patreon page, patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. We can get access to exclusive content and some homebrew from the guy. I say homebrew, I've actually just realised I can't actually remember the last time Dixon and Callum made a homebrew. But when they do, you'll get some. If you go to our Patreon page, you can sign up for as little as £1.50, I think it is, and gain access to all that lovely extra content. Right, my name is Gavin. I've got my usual one drinking buddy at the moment. One will be showing up very shortly in the form of Scott. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Don't know why
that's
I said
quite,
that.
By the way, that's quite a lackluster in fucking introduction.
Was it?
It'll be better for the guests than me. Oh, and I'm fucking stuck with this prick again.
I know, I did.
That's unbelievable.
I don't know why. No, I don't really know.
No bad patter, that's awful.
It was
that's
a bit. Shite. Sorry.
Oh, here's your pal now. There he's there. Look. I'm just getting absolutely belted here for, like he didn't want me here. Mm. He's introduced me like, here's that bit of shite in my shoe, Scott. I'm like, thanks very much.
It wasn't the best.
You'll get the full oomph. You'll get the dialed podcast, up.
The podcast senior citizen has arrived.
The champion of champions.
Do you want me to do it again for you?
No, I'm all right. I'm past it now. I fell out with you.
Over it. All right, okay.
Get Callum. Introduce him with your 11 out of 10, and then we'll get on to the actual guests, if that's what
I'm And showing up this evening as another member of the Beer Fridge podcast from Armadale Academy.
Wearing
a
hat,
makes me sound like a bit like a pedo, to be sure.
That's which is well, we can see you.
Well, whoa, in the form of Callum Muir. Hello, Callum.
Good evening. Sorry, I'm late.
No, you're fine, son. You're all right. You're all right.
Exactly on time.
Tonight we are joined by Richard and James from the Way Out Back Brewing. Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you? How's it going, guys?
How are
not
we?
Not bad, Harry? Thank you.
Hopefully that intro was better than Scott's that I gave him.
Definitely. That was fair. I think that was good.
I apologise there, Scott. That was my bad. We'll start off as we normally do. We'll go around the virtual table to see what we're drinking to start off the podcast. Funnily enough, they're going to be the Way Out Back beers because they've been very kind enough to send us some to sample this evening. Scott, what are you starting things off with?
I think we're going to have a couple of doublers here maybe right off the bat. So I am ever so thankful for some beers from the Way Out Back, and I am on the Full Nelson, which you nearly got if you were in Northern France for that lackluster introduction. There we go. It's a cold IPA, so brewed 50-50 lager pilsner base, fermented cold with lager yeast, hopped out with yours and my friend Nelson, which is, you can't go wrong with. It's excellent. Cold IPAs, as we've already said before, is a style that we're super into, especially in the heat that we've been experiencing over the last few weeks, although today, for some reason, it's decided to dip back into October in central Scotland, which is fine. Welcome, it's rained the whole day. So something kind of to hark back to the times where the sun used to shine is probably quite apt. It's super refreshing, hot flavour really zings through. It's got that bit of dryness at the end, which you totally expect. It's crisp, but full-flavoured at the same time. Exactly what I enjoy. And it's got that wee bit of kind of nostalgia. Kind of, no Caesar Augustus in any way, shape or form. It's a far more refined version of that. But it's got that kind of thing that gets you into it. It's a great gateway and the perfect starter. Packs a bit of oomph as well at 5.7%. So it's there or thereabouts. It's an excellent beer. A great one to start with.
I can't really add much to that, to be fair, Scott, because you've hit the nail on the head. As always, your tasting notes are impeccable. Absolutely impeccable. That's why you're talent of the show.
Right, guess
I can read. I would say a standard grade English, but I'll say GCSE for our friends from Dan Cerf. English, so I can read. It's tremendous, isn't it?
It's solid. It's such a nice beer, and like you said, the Nelson comes through nice in the back end. It starts off that like kind of lager feel, nice and crisp, and then you get the hops coming through in the back, kind of that gooseberry kind of vibe and that comes through. But the reason I picked that first because I was like you said, Scott, cold IPAs are the ones that the style of beer that we are kind of gravitating to more so at the moment, just because they're fucking good. And this is up there with a fucking good cold IPA.
Lovely.
Is that a fair tasting notes on the Phil Nelson, guys?
I think he pretty much hit it on the head. Yeah, man. It's obviously Nelson hops. I think you guys also commented that actually at Brew London we literally just put Nelson baby when we were putting our description because. It's a hop we love. And pretty much everything you've said is what we're going for. So crisp, clean, and just let the gooseberry and kind of, you know, note shine through, basically. So,
yeah. It's a great summer beer. So, yeah.
It's cracking.
5.7, so it's not your weakest kind of like beer, but it's not too strong. I wouldn't say it's a session, but it's a...
It's a Beer Fridge podcast session.
It's a beer fridge podcast. Okay, remember that.
It's a podcast session beer, 100%.
Incredibly Moorish as well, I guess.
Oddly, it's the last beer I made before James, my New Zealand brewer, actually joined me, which was kind of weird. It was all Nelson hops, New Zealand hops, obviously. And then, I think pretty much everyone, when it came out, were like, oh, did James brew that? And I went, actually, that was me. That was the last thing I did, literally, I think, before he turned up. And then, so.
Superb. Yeah. Cal, what you got?
I am on Game Changer, which is a session IPA. Session Pale Ale, sorry. Is that Idaho 7 and Nectaron in this one? And it's like liquid Solero, really. It's pineapple, passion fruit, mango. There's a little bit of bitterness there at the end that kind of makes it not too sweet, which is lovely. Fantastic body. It wasn't until you guys mentioned your ABV I actually looked at the ABV on the can, and it's only 4%, and it's an absolute banger for 4%. It really is. It's, you know, proper mouthfeel, lovely body to it, and it's super, super sessionable. Even for a non-beer fridge podcast person, it's super sessionable. Delicious.
Fun enough. So, like we said, the guys were kind enough to send us some beers. Obviously, I'm solo down here in the south of France, so sometimes I've got some more at hand, which is always lovely. And I had that. The box arrived, and I was like, I can't wait 2 weeks to have any of these beers. And I the second night after it was chilled, I need to have one of them. And exactly what you said, Dirk. It's just Solero, and I can. Lovely. Cracking beer. Mm-hmm. Cracking beer. How did Cal do in his tasting notes there, guys?
Pretty good, man. That was, so that beer was, I'd never heard of Nectaron hops. And James...
What a name.
Great name. And James kind of comes up to me one day and goes, there's this new hop from New Zealand.
It's a New Zealand hop. Before I left New Zealand, it was kind of the big hop that all the breweries were kind of using. We're talking about just kind of started what beers that we should make in the future. I was like, oh, we've got to get some Nectaron and make something with Nectaron in it. And Richard turns around and says, well, what's Nectaron? But took a punt on it, took a chance. We paired it with some Idaho 7, which is something that I personally hadn't used a lot of. The back of the can says it's the love child of our brewers. And it really is.
We got 5 kilos of Nectaron in to start with, just so we could literally just get some pellets, rub them in our hands and smell what it tastes. Rub it in smell. So it was like, oh man, that's amazing. James was like, should we just brew a single hop? And I went, no, go get some Idaho 7 out of the freezer. And then we rubbed the two together in our hands. I was like, yeah, no, that can't literally go wrong. And then we brewed it, and then I think literally just said to one another, Game Changer, and then that was it. And then that's the name. So,
superb. I think our
thinking kind of comes in 4%. It's got that body, but it's not heavy. So, nice, sessionable, hazy pale.
I like juicy beers, but I don't like them to be too sweet. I think I've gone through my earlier years of drinking every single juicy hop bomb that there was.
Yeah.
I've come out the other side going, I like a juicy beer, but I do like it to still have a bit of a dry finish kind of at the end.
Yeah, it doesn't. It displeases me when it's like all cloy and sweet and you know, it's after half a can, you're like, yeah, you know.
And all of our beers are vegan friendly as well, so we don't really use lactose. And yeah, we just try and stay to that ethos, really, just brew with water, malt, hops, and yeast. So, yeah.
I think our first introduction to Nectaron and beer was it Castles a couple of years ago when we had them on the podcast, and they introduced us to the Nectaron stuff, and God, fucking love it. Such a good hop. It just brings a really good level, a different kind of aspect to the beer, but still that New Zealand kind of vibe, like I said, kind of almost that Nelson-y kind of, obviously because it's from New Zealand, duh. But yeah, cracking, love that hop. Like we said,
sounds like a fruit transformer.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Fruit transformer, Nectaron.
Does, doesn't it?
Sorry. I've been thinking about that since we mentioned that it was a good name. That's what I've been waiting on that opportunity just to get that in there.
Just sliding a Transformers.
Fruit Transformer. I might bet that's a great name for a new beer.
Well, we've had breweries in the past.
Can we write that down right now? Hang on, can I put go a for it?
Go for it. We had Unbarred, I swear by it, about 2 months ago, maybe even 3 months ago. We were talking to them, and we said basically they were a part of our Brewery of the Year contest, and it was them and Heist that were the last two, and we were trying to get a bit of back and forth, a bit of kind of chatting back and forth, throwing shit at each other. So we said throwing shade, and then lo and behold, a month later, they had a beer called Throwing Shade, and I was like, you fuckers.
There you go.
And that was us. Yes. So well, I look forward to seeing that. Seat.
Watch this space. You get a mystery box all branded up in the post. Right?
Super,
it looks like
super.
A fruit machine, right?
Oh, that sounds good. That would be really fucking cool, actually. Anyway, like I said, we've got Richard and James from the Way Out Back Brewing joining us on the podcast this evening. I think the first question overall about the brewery has to be kind of how it started and the kind of origins of the Way Out Back. How did it all start?
So it started in my back garden 6 years ago. Six, 7 years ago, 2016. End of 2016, start of 2017. And I used to be a mechanical engineer, and I kind of quit doing that. And I used to design pressure vessels, heat exchangers, and filters, which, lo and behold, if you put all those together, you got yourself a brewery, which is kind of really weird because it was lots of different individual companies that I used to work for, and no, never in a million years did I think I'd own a brewery. I used to do some kind of home brewing. Gonna throw it out there that a lot of it wasn't very good, but I think that was a long time before a lot of this fancy new equipment came out that you could kind of much replicate kind of, you know, commercial breweries on a sort of small scale. So yeah, we started in my garden and we started with a 300 litre kit. I could afford to buy the kit and one fermenter, so I started there and started basically brewing beer and selling it commercially to all the pubs and stuff around Bournemouth. Mm-hmm. And then about 6 months after that, we decided, myself and my girlfriend, that she actually bought me my second fermenter, which is really kind of her. So I'd been together with her for about 6 months, so she was the keeper. She bought me my second fermenter. So then I could make two beers at a time, which was like mind-blowing. That was cool.
Then you're like, well, you're mad at me. Yes.
Yeah. So we're still together. Let's say like 6, 7 years, 8 years later now. We've got a son as well. So definitely a keeper, that one.
Yep.
Then we built the. Then we started looking for a tap room. We sort of decided that actually to make some money, and kind of quit our jobs. I was still working as a carpenter, and she was working in the hospitality industry for a hotel down here. Mm-hmm. That we should build a tap room and kind of open that and go from there. And we built one. We're in Southbourne, just outside of Bournemouth. Tiny little place, probably fit sort of 30, 40 people in max. We had the little brewery in a little room in the back, and it just about fit. We opened the doors and we sold our beer in about a week and a half. Wow. Yeah, it was insane. I'd stockpiled the best part of about 80 kegs of beer. It was gone. Then kind of like struggled to kind of make beer, and we had 10, I think we started with 10 tap lines. So a couple of cider. So we had sort of eight lines to fill, none of our beer. So we just bought beer from, you know, all the other craft breweries, really, and then kind of padded it out as and when our beer was ready to kind of come on, and everyone would come in still and say, you know, your beer's great, but there's never any on there. I was like, well, we make it, you drink it in 3 days, and then it's gone. So it's, yeah.
That's it.
And then we've just been making the brewery bigger and bigger and bigger, really. So we're taking on a building across the road from the tap room, which was an old MOT garage with two ramps in it. And we've got thing in there, and we got, what, 12 fermenters now, a couple of 2,000 ones, and then sort of five 1,000-litre ones and a couple of 600-litre ones. We've upscaled. We've got a six-barrel brew house now, but we max the hell out of that. We get about 1,000 litres out of that, don't we? So,
yeah, we do.
Literally brim that to the point that we can't get it. It's boiling over sometimes. But and then we built another little pizzeria next door as well. So we've got our barrel room, which is got a glass floor, which we dug a big hole in the floor and put all the glass floor in with all of our barrels in. So all of our barrel age and stuff kind of sits down there and does its thing.
I seen a picture of that today when I was kind of checking up for the meeting. Should have got my notes for this evening, and that the barrel room looks fucking cool as just with that, like you said, with the glass floor and all the barrels just underneath, that looks awesome.
Well, we were going to have it just filled full of barrels, and then I was like, well, actually, bums on seats equals money in the till, doesn't it? So it was very much a case of, well, we fill it full of barrels, and then it's going to cost us a load of money to store those barrels. So what do we do with it? Let's put a pizza oven in there, sling some pizzas. We've used it for events, and we're sort of stopping doing the events so much now, and we kind of use it as an overspill for our tap room on sort of Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and just have both venues open. We've got big sliding doors that open up in the summer, and the sun literally sets in the barrel room. So it's it's perfect. Yeah. So that's pretty much where we've come from.
A great little pilot kit.
Yeah, we got a little pilot kit as well. So actually, the pilot kit came from Simon at Gypsy Hill. He's a little Braumeister. So he's a good friend of mine, and he wasn't doing anything with it, so he kind of lent that to me on a long-term loan, I think.
he's listen to this and go, fuck, I forgot about that.
Yeah, probably. I did just start saying that. But, hey, I'll be back next week. I was like, yeah, shit. So, yeah, we got that. And we got three little 30-litre uni tanks up on the mezzanine as well, which we kind of mess around quite a lot. Just order these random hops normally that we've never heard of. Never thrown together and make some stuff. James likes to go off to the New Forest and pick things like gorse flowers and just destroy his fingers with all the prickles that are on them. Anything like that. So,
I made a gorse flower sour on the pilot kit, which went down pretty well.
You made me a birthday cake beer. What was that?
I made a strawberry red velvet stout.
That was pretty good.
We served it with sprinkles, which was kind of funny.
That's cool. That's a cool idea. Yeah. Well, but like you said, you've got that pilot kit, and like you said, James, you're kind of playing about and messing about with it. There must be something you put in that, and you went, "What the fuck was I thinking?"
I think the gorse flower one was the real "what was I thinking" kind of moment. Like it was a lot of work. I wasn't sure if it was gonna pay off, and it really did. I haven't had any disasters in it yet, but hey, you know, there's still time, so we'll see.
I made a salted caramel stout in it, and I put way too much salt in it. Once the sugar had actually been, you know, eaten by the yeast, and I was just left with salt, it was pretty repulsive.
My worst kind of pilot kit mishap didn't happen here, happened in New Zealand. I made a rice lager, and it must have got a bit too hot or something, because it just tasted like eggs. Like it tasted like eggs. It was an egg fried rice lager. It was not good.
Oh no!
It's not happened again. So yeah,
egg fried rice.
Egg fried rice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's a cool little kit. We kind of leave that up there. We just kind of mess around with it, and generally. I think I kind of go off if I go to like Budapest, where my missus is from, or, you know, one of us goes on holiday somewhere. James, obviously, over from New Zealand.
Hmm.
New Zealand's a bit further away from most countries than kind that's of, hard. You know, we are to Europe. So he's definitely ticking them off as he's here.
Yeah.
He's off going to various different places and then comes back. You know, we get some ideas from different places and breweries and stuff. And yeah, mess around and then hopefully, well, quite a lot of them will sort of end up turning into something. Maybe not the first initiation.
I mean, that was a question. I mean, you've kind of basically answered there, but where the ideas stem from? How did you come up with a new beer? Are you looking at kind of trends and stuff? What's selling in the market? Are you just going, fuck it, you know what? Let's just make what we want to make, or like what's been good on, like you said, on the pilot kit and what's sold well? Because I assume obviously when you're doing these pilot kit ones with the space that you've got in terms of your tap room and stuff, like you're whacking them on a keg, on a line, so getting some feedback from your customers and stuff. So how does that process start for you guys?
Yeah, so we've got a little Linde machine actually at the end. So we've got 14 tap lines in the bar now. Well, 15 technically, but we've got, and then we've got the little Linde machine. So we just shove them on there normally, little 20 litre kegs. And then just, it's nice. We get some really good feedback from the customers, don't we? It's, it's like, yeah, you need to make a big batch of that, or what about this? And then, yeah, I think, you know, you put like-minded people together, don't you? People come up with ideas and then sparks fly. And then all of a sudden, you know, you go off back to the little pilot kit and go,
yeah,
there was this customer that said this at the weekend. It may not be completely, you know.
May not be the worst idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah. However, it could actually be the worst idea because it came from Untappd, so you never know.
Well,
no comments.
everyone loves to hate Untappd.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got people that don't really know a lot about beer, rating beer, haven't you? It's
which is probably the problem.
Feedback's
a gift. But that's how it works.
It is.
Feedback's a gift.
Yeah.
No,
as I've been slapped at this many an office job, try hard has told other people at times, feedback's a gift. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
What I like with Untappd is when we get somebody rate somebody else's brewery, beer at our brewery, and I'm like, well, we don't make that. or if you were drinking that, you definitely weren't in our tap room. So how have you helped in our tap room? I'm just like,
Unreal. So talk us through naming the beers, because the names in the beers are obviously really good. The one specific that I'm talking about is the one that's in my hand, I'm Not Your Dad.
Right. Okay,
which for weirdly, in my head, every time I see it and every time I read it, I want to say it in an Irish accent and say, I'm not your daddy. I don't know why.
People do come to the bar and say, I'll have I'm not your daddy, actually. So that does, yeah. So that came about, we'd never made lager. So the water down in Bournemouth is really hard and terrible. And arguably some people would say, yeah, you can make lager with it. But I wanted it to be, I wanted to make Pilsner to start with. So I wanted the water to be soft. I wanted it to be kind of replicate the water that came from Pilsner. So we actually spent an awful amount of money on a RO unit just so we could, strip the water back the pure water and then back salt it accordingly for all the different styles of beer. So most of our water will go through the RO unit at this point for our beer styles, just so we can be true to form.
All of it, pretty much.
I even wash my car with it, actually, because it just leaves no streak. It's great. you don't have to shammy it. It just dries with no watermark. It's genius. So like I say, we'd never made a lager. So we went about making a lager and I wanted to make it like true to form. I wanted to make a Pilsner. So I made, on the pilot kit, I think we made three batches of lager.
We made three batches.
And we played around with the salts. And then we invited a bunch of guys from, we've got a little brew pub next to us, which were a chain called Brewhouse and Kitchen. We invited some of the brewers from there and some of the staff that work from there. Some people that drink in our bar, anyone that generally kind of knew anything about beer, we've invited along and did a little triangle taste basically session. It was unanimous, wasn't it? So we kind of went for one that was slightly salted, basically the water profile. So I didn't win. I really loved the absolutely pure Pilsen water with almost nothing in it. Arguably say that actually that's not really very good for kind of the yeast when you're actually not trying to wait. No, there's like no new yeast nutrition in there or anything.
Transformation.
Yeah, you know, all those things. So that would present problems. So we kind of went with this slightly salted one. During that triangle tasting session, somebody was given a load of, after a few beers, was given a bit of a lip. And then James piped up, and I can't even remember what they said, but James basically made an off-the-cuff comment of, look, I'm not your dad. That's and that's where it stuck. And we ended up with I'm Not Your Dad as the name for the beer. So
I'd just done some IPD study. I'd spent ages learning about like tasting panels and that. So I spent all night working on the sheet on like with a flavor diagram and a spider chart and brought it in. And I was like, oh, you know, here it is. Fill it out or don't. I'm not your dad. And the one thing I wrote down the bottom was, if you have an idea for a name for this beer, write it here. I got them all back, and no one had written anything on the entire sheet, except for the name part, which everyone wrote, I'm not your dad.
Oh, brilliant.
So then that was the last one. So actually, we also make Or Am I, which is our Pilsner. So we've got I'm not your dad, Or Am I. So, and they are side by side in our tap room, which... And then we do have T-shirts as well that say "I'm."
I was going to say, "I see."
Or am I on the back? So yeah. Yeah.
So I did see that on your Instagram. I seen the T-shirt and I was like, "That's fucking hilarious."
Well, we did it for Father's Day, so it was kind of yeah.
That makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Or fucking am I? Brilliant.
Or does it?
Absolutely perfect. I'm sure there'll be a reincarnation somewhere. Aunties and uncles getting involved as well, no doubt. Somewhere down the line. Gil, are you switched over?
Yes, I'm on Session Pale, working like a dog. Really enjoying the kind of white winey kind of kick. It's Hallertau Blanc, I think. I don't know if I'm saying
it's either probably the Havertal or the Taiki that's probably giving it.
Yeah, Taiki's got a kind of both together just give it a right oomph for 3.6%. Back up what Callum said about his session pale wholeheartedly. That's never 3.6% in terms of body and flavour depth. I mean, you almost how many kind of 3.8 and round about that neck of the woods beer have you tasted in your life and it tastes like fizzy water? At times, and they've tried real hard, but they're just not getting it, and that is totally the opposite of that. It packs a whole bunch of flavour, lovely body to it, still has the, and it has absolutely has the kind of dry finish as well, that's, you could neck, like you mentioned, the sun setting in the kind of pizzeria bit, that I can only imagine that would go down an absolute treat there.
It's also got and a picture of
sun shining. Yes. The dog.
Picture of our, now deceased, bless him, brewery dog Arthur. So, he was a Bernese Mountain dog, so he's he used to lay out on the pavement outside the front whilst we were working our ass off. and my missus, when we started the tap room, was pregnant, heavily pregnant, right? And she worked right up to the point of like eight and a bit months until before.
What a slave driver? I mean, she should have been in the HR department there, surely.
She is the HR department. She can have a word with herself, that's fine.
Have the risk assessments been done for this? Absolutely, they have. Right, okay, fuck off. Thank you.
That's where the name Working Like a Dog comes from. So we were literally working like a dog, and we'd always just look at Arthur, who's just laying flat on the corner outside the tap room on the pavement, just laying there blocking the pavement for everyone. We were like, he laid there for the best part of about 7 years, and everyone around here knows him. He was more well known than we were when we started the brewery. Everyone would know who Arthur was, and it's quite funny. I actually borrowed someone's dog at the weekend and took him for a walk, and it's amazing how people don't look at the owner, they just know the dog. I was getting loads of questions about some conversations I'd apparently had with someone, and I'm walking my mate's dog, and I'm like, no, this isn't my dog. I'm like, this is what we used to get with Arthur. So that's why we called it Working Like a Dog. So
what a cool beer as a tribute to him. It's tremendous. cracking beer.
It's cool little beer, 3.6. And
right, I don't think I've had a. You would be hard pushed to find a beer at that percentage ABV with that much flavour, because it's a total kick in the chops. Like, it's lovely, superb.
Sounds good. I'll get that cracked open shortly. Carl, have you switched over, pal?
Yes, I have.
What you got?
I'm probably going to butcher this pronunciation, but it's a Kvyat Pale, and it's Keeping It Floaky. Is that
correct.
How you pronounce it?
Yeah.
So this is it's a Kvyat Pale, and it's been late hopped with Amarillo. So it's oranges for days, this one. It really is. And with that kind of Kvyat funk that you get, it's just, again, it's super complex. I mean, for only being a single hop, it's super complex. It's got really interesting flavours. But overarching everything is that kind of lovely bitter orange, but also that kind of sweet tangy orange as well. It's kind of encompassing the whole sort of flavour map that you get just from the orange. It really is. It's absolutely delicious. It really is. And this one, a little bit stronger at 5.4, but still dangerously sessionable. This one's really, really nice. A bit of a step up from Game Changer. I think it's, I'm enjoying this one just as much. It really is.
So it's Voss Kvyat, which kind of throws off orangey notes, and then obviously just Amarillo, which, I think I've never found anyone that doesn't like Amarillo. So. No.
Very, very true. I am on the previously mentioned I'm Not Your Dad Munich Lager. This is just class in a can. This is right up my street.
Lagerman.
Lads to come, I think. Yep.
This is just right up my street. It's everything you want from a lager. Clean, crisp, it's not too gassy. It's none of your kind of supermarket pish beers that you pick up. This is a proper lager done properly, with the proper malts, etc. Oh, I could drink that for fucking days. Absolutely.
That's actually also now gluten-free as well. Days. So I don't know if that one... Is that one we sent them gluten-free? I think it should be gluten-free.
That one...
We need new labels, so we haven't actually advertised on the cans yet that it's gluten-free, but in our tap room, we're sending it off. It's getting, we're chucking the beta glucanase in when we're brewing it. It's being sent off to the lab, being tested, and it's coming back well within the 20 parts per million. In fact, I think... Mm-hmm. Murphy's literally said it was below 10, and that's as low as their equipment went. We've done that with Working Like a Dog as well now. So I think probably the batch you're drinking there in the can as well is either the last batch that we did without.
I think that
might be the gluten free batch as well. But again, we're just waiting on some gluten free labels to come through.
Yeah.
That's an additive that you put in to
yeah. So
to get rid of the gluten.
Chuck it in and it basically strips it out, and then you cold crash it. And then in those two, we also chuck some vegan friendly finings in as well, don't we?
Just
silica based finings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fill it, drop it, send it off to be analysed, get the results back.
And there's no difference in taste or flavour or anything.
We have
found
nothing. We've got a voted person that drinks Working Like a Dog every single day for the last 6 years in the pub, and we did this to it, put it back on tap, and he can taste the difference. He literally was like, oh, that's a good batch, boys. Well, like, yes, yeah, sweet. So,
yeah. On that note, the next batch of Oramai is also gluten-free.
Okay, so yeah, so then our Pilsner will also be gluten-free as well. So nice. We're just trying to kind of hit that market where, celiacs can actually get a drink as opposed to drinking, sugary cider. So
beers for everyone.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, like you say, if there's no noticeable difference in the product, then why not do it? You know, it's like sticking to that vegan mentality as well. You know, if it's not going to harm the product by brewing it a certain way and brewing it for everyone, then go for it.
I think if we cold crash everything long enough, and we got the time. I'd love to have a centrifuge just to spin the beer at the end and probably end up with a slightly more beer out of the actual each batch, but we also don't have a spare 70 grand because we're not the biggest brewery.
They're quite dear.
James will say the floor space, because if I try and cram another thing in the brewery, he's going to go nuts.
Another glass floor, another basement built.
Well, I've gone up, gone down. I don't know where else we're going. I've actually, you were talking about our beer van that we took to Brew London, just started recording, which is a Volkswagen Caddy with 6 beer taps drilled in the side of the van, which we use for sort of weddings and events. And we did have two. We had an orange one as well, and that's just been written off. So we've just bought this transporter pickup that's got like this farmyard sort of almost like fence panel back on it at the moment. And we're thinking about getting 3 horizontal brewery serving tanks to go on that on like a skid, so we can go and do bigger events and just sort of pour kind of pale lager, you know, IPA out the side of that, and then take the caddy for the kind of like more special sort of sours, kind of, you know, your stronger sort of beers like our dark Kvik IPA, and stuff like that. So, yeah.
You were talking about, or we were talking about power and stuff earlier as well. Just thinking a wee kind of like a roadworks style generator on a trailer.
Yeah.
Imagine getting stuck in traffic behind that, Gav. And obviously,
you know, mate. That,
obviously,
see,
being a passenger and no driving, you can drive, that's fine. But me being a passenger stuck behind that, I would be chapping your door almost immediately.
I once got stuck on the motorway.
Screw a couple of them on, would you?
I got stuck on the motorway. We were there for hours, like 3-4 hours, and I was in my old black van that was branded up the way out back, and I jumped in the back and put the kettle on because I obviously was driving, made myself a cup of tea, slid open the side door, and across from me there was a bunch of guys that literally, I think they'd just come back from Afghanistan in the army, just stuck in this pickup, like, you know, it was boiling hot day, and they went, I suppose you got any beers in there, Abby? And I was like, yes, I do. And they're cold. And they were like, oh, literally, they were, I think I'd made their... probably their year, I don't know, but it was...
I mean, if you want to get stuck in a traffic jam, that's the traffic jam you want stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
Damn fucking right.
The Caddy's such a perfect van, like that style, it with the high back end and the smooth sides just make it totally perfect for sticking the taps on the side. It's like, I seen it, I was like, it's a proper thing of beauty. That's nerd.
Well, I think actually for us at Brew London, tremendous. For us at Brew London, for whatever reason, we went to the middle bit. Oh, no, that's why, because we all went to the toilet first, and then we got to the middle bit, got our kind of bearings slightly, and we picked up a beer, and then, like, okay, right, let's go into this, and then we're like, we've seen the van, and like, we're going there. Like, I don't know what it is, but we're going towards that van that's pouring beer out of the side of the fucking van. That looks fucking amazing. Yes, let's go. Beeline. And I think we stayed there for a good 20 minutes, half an hour or so, because we're like, this is fucking good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah, I think you did.
Walked over for the van, stayed for the beer.
There
you go. Yeah.
That's what you want. Yeah. That's exactly what you want. I don't know if you mentioned it already, and I can't remember if you did, and I apologize if you did. The I'm Not Your Dad, how long are you keeping that in tank? How long are you lagging it for? It
basically conditions for about a month at this point.
Yeah.
So we've just bought another 2,000 litre tank just because we were getting through it so fast.
Yeah.
In the tap room, we were border on having to actually buy some guest lager in. Off the back of Brew London, we went and bought another 2,000 litre tank. So now which is what James has just been doing today, because our kit's only 6 barrel. We, you know, we maxed it out to just under 1,000. He's just done a double brew in that today, just so. And actually, both of those tanks are currently empty with lager, so we've just kegged a load. We've got to do another double brew either this week or early next week just to fill the other one up as well. But
today is the day that I'm at the moment. So
it sits for a month. Obviously, ferments, and then we try and give it a good month conditioning time.
Is that for you guys? I know for some other breweries, some other smaller breweries, like doing a lager is a big commitment because obviously it takes a lot of space and it needs that time to lager, obviously. For you guys, is that something that you're quite happy to do and take that tank space just to take that? Like you said, you've got a really good lager and obviously it's flying.
Well,
Well, like, are you guys comfortable doing that?
I just want it to be right, really. So it's just like, you know.
Well, that's it. It speaks for itself. So we do it because we want to produce the best product. And if it takes a little bit longer, it takes a little bit longer. Just is what it is.
We I think, like I say, we never actually made a lager. I made a couple of Doppelbox, and I gave them a good month as well when I made those. And then actually, we'll see if we can send you boys some of that. They're in that hole in the floor, which is in front of us. But there's a we got some Cotswold
another hole in the floor.
Well, the one with the barrels has also got a whole bunch of bottles, which we just kind of like keep. So there's just some like kind of bits that we've just don't really they are for sale, but they're. We're trying to keep a hold of, like, say, 100 of each, just so we can kind of, you know, in time, have these dusty bottles with a label on it and go, oh, what's this? Wonder if it's got any better or worse. So, but there's a Doppelbock down there. I think it's about 7% that's been aged in Cotswold whiskey barrels. And that was lagered for a month as well. And it was phenomenal before it got put in the Cotswold whiskey barrels. And then when it came out, it was like, oh, yeah, no, this is good. So,
And are they are the whiskey barrels like virgin whiskey barrels, or are they
So they were originally They were originally bourbon barrels, and then Cotswold Whiskey Company got hold of them and aged their whiskey in, and then we got them straight from Cotswold Whiskey,
nice.
And just chucked out. And they absolutely reeked to whiskey when we got them.
So the bourbon will be sort of be vanilla and you know all that kind of stuff. That sounds delicious.
And then we've got, I think we've got about 6 bottles left. We did a really good one with Teeling's whiskey. So we've got some Irish whiskey barrels, and we chucked, made a beer called Rise of the Phoenix. And that sat in the, and that came out. That was just nuts.
That's good whiskey. That we had during lockdown. The other absentee from the podcast tonight, Mark, we did sort of Zoom whiskey tastings, and there was like an Irish special on, and we did that, and some of their whiskey's spectacular.
We took the I took the bar staff over before lockdown, I think it was about a year before lockdown, over to Dublin, and we went on, went to Jameson, went to Teeling's, and actually we were standing outside of Teeling's, and I used to have a big curly wax moustache. And in the cafe was these two guys kind of looking out the window, taking the piss out of me, like pointing at my moustache. And I think I'd bought a Teeling's whiskey T-shirt the day before when we were in the gift shop. I'm standing there in that, and then they're looking at us, and me and one of my bar staff, Aaron, were looking, going, "That guy's definitely taking the piss out of your moustache." And I was like, "Yeah, he is." And I was like, "Isn't that Jack and Stephen Teeling, the owners of Teeling Whiskey?" And then he goes, "I'm pretty sure it is." So. In we bowl, and I went and said hello to them, and then off the back of that, got their number, their business card, etc., and then literally rang them up, messaged them, and said, "Can we get some barrels?" And they sent us 4 over on a pallet, and that was it. So they were fresh as well when they arrived. They absolutely hummed. I could have dived in it if I could have got through the hole. It was
Cal, I'll do you a favour, mate. I'll stop by the tap room and get you some of those beers. plus some other ones as well, obviously. That sounds awesome.
That barrels and a beer all based on a moustache. That's excellent.
I know.
It's pretty good, right? So
Step up my game. Fuck.
Yeah.
I'll catch you in a decade's time.
I know.
Then it just got really annoying, and I shaved it off because it was the morning. It's in the morning when you drink your coffee, and it just kind of wicks it up unwaxed. It was and then proceeds to drip down your nice white T-shirt. It's like, this is going. This is.
Yep.
It's not practical.
Fucking get rid of that. Get rid of that fucking shit. Yeah. James, for yourself, obviously, like you joined the team kind of late on, or later on, I should say. What was your brewing background before you joined the team?
So I started brewing in New Zealand. I think I'd been brewing for about 2 years before I came over. Kind of was planning on doing an OE. Looked around, kind of found the Outback. Reached out to Richard. We had a Zoom meeting while I was away on working at a different site with the brewery I was working with.
Mm-hmm.
We had like a 11.
Yeah, you were in a hotel room. It was weird.
I was in a hotel. in a 11 PM hotel room Zoom meeting. Yeah. So I started brewing in New Zealand, so kind of familiar with New Zealand hops.
Yeah.
I joined a company in New Zealand, was working as a cellar hand, and they kind of went, well, if you want to be a brewer, we'll train you to be a brewer.
Nice.
So we did that. I started doing some training with IBD, so I kind of, you know, get some nice little paperwork behind me. And still going on that. I did my last exam. Maybe I've passed, maybe I haven't, a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, so that's kind of my brewing background, I guess.
The last module he said, I don't know if I've passed, and then he came out with about 90-something percent, I think.
Oh, he's not one of those people, is he?
He kind of is. And then actually, I think the last module, though, was basically brewery design, which is kind of, some of the questions they were asking him, I get it, right, it's brewery design, but... yeah, you're not going to sit there and work those things out. You might briefly kind of like go around the subject, but it's
a pedantic kind of thing.
Well, kind of. And I mean, like, you know, I used to design pressure vessels, heat exchangers and filters, and it's, you're going to have a spreadsheet for it, aren't you? You're not going to actually sit there and do it work or memorize all those equations, are you? No. So,
and at the end of the day, who's got the cash and the you know, the time and, you know, the luck to be able to design a brewery and then build a brewery? Whereas, you know, 99.9% of the breweries that we've spoken to, it's been, there's a space that we can rent. Right, okay, let's try and fit as much shit into this space as we possibly can.
Or breweries that we spoke to that the brew in the garage in the back garden and stuff, like, brewery design, go fuck yourself. Was it
Three Hills with the cannon line that comes out the wall of the garage and back in, things like that?
Sick.
Oh, you passed. Well, I mean,
we're on our third brewery, essentially. We've gone from our shed to the brew pub to across the road, and, you know, each time we've tried to make it better. And you know, I've obviously spent quite a few years designing these things, but you still never get it like fully right unless you you've got a shed load of money and a bunch of people going, yeah, here's a nice stainless steel walkway and here's a...
Exactly. like, if you had all the money in the world, then you can maybe make the perfect kind of brew house, but...
They've got to test on something, right?
Just go like, I made this beer. Is it good or is it no good? Right, there you go. A star, you're done. Yeah. Fuck off.
That's the greatest thing about craft beer, though, isn't it? So it's like you say, you've got a canning machine going in and out of a garage. It's it's making it work, isn't it, and getting a good product out. And as long as the product's good, it's
if the product's good, folk are buying it.
Yep.
There's your fucking diploma right there.
It's the one, bro.
I mean, it might not stand up on a CV, but hey ho. Would that
who checks these things for people?
Yeah.
I mean, been in craft brewing, and nobody's phoning up to get a transcript.
In fact, here you go. Add this to your CV. Fucking Beerfridge podcast approved. Bingo. There you go.
Have you got stickers?
I do actually. I've got keylings.
Tell you what, send me one. I do have a vinyl car.
I've got stickers. I've got lovely slated beer mats.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh well, I like it as well. That was a lovely gift from Scott who got them done. Yes. Full fucking swag.
Everybody on, even on beer Facebook groups has got a side hustle these days. Guy with a fucking laser printer printing things onto slate for you. I'm desperate to go back and ask him now that I'm an actual customer. How many people have asked you to 3D to burn a knob onto a like as a gift for somebody? something obscene. Onto a coaster for somebody and sending them out as a gift.
That's why you buy those things. you mentioned before we were recording, obviously the back of us, kind of Brew London. You obviously got a little bit of business as well, but you also got some business overseas, and you're kind of starting to expand across to the continent.
Yeah, so we met the guys at. First craft beer. Did you try any of their beer when you were in?
Can't remember.
Well, they got a bunch of. So,
where were they situated? Were they?
They were situated when you came in. if you'd chucked to the left and gone down the kind of like to the left-hand aisle of all of the...
Were they the very end left?
No, they were in the middle. So they were kind of... So if you came to the kind of gate and then, it's kind of like you had kind of like two runs, didn't you, of kind of like main breweries. If you'd gone to the left. Do you know where Sierra Nevada were?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they were back towards the door, kind of like about 6-7 stalls, something like that. So
missed that.
Yeah. Anyway, they come over from Budapest, really nice guys. My missus is obviously from Budapest, so we go over there quite a lot, and it does help that she can speak Hungarian. So she had a good chin wag with them. We got talking to them, and they're doing a festival. I think it's August, but they're called First Craft Brewery, and I think they've got about 3 brew pubs situated across Budapest. One's got a really cool barbecue venue actually, which is definitely the best one, because they kind of just ribs and burgers and then some pretty cool beer as well, which is they're gonna
what a spot. I'm just having a wee look at
you just googled it.
Pretty cool. It's a good little kind of like arch kind of tunnel-y looking kind of vibe they've got going, a bit kind of like the called Bermondsey almost kind of like arch, isn't it? But a kind of old building in the middle of, not far from the sort of party tent area of Budapest as well, so it gets quite busy in that area. They're doing a beer festival, and we're going to be slinging some beer over there, which is cool. So trying to work out how we export beer. So
I was going to say, that's awesome that you're doing it. Also, good luck with export. Fuck me.
Well, yeah, I think post Brexit, nothing's easy, is it? So it's
You've now got about 1,000,001 hoops to jump through, whereas before you maybe had about 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got a fuck.
Fingers crossed that'll all go ahead, and then we're gonna go over there and attend. So
awesome. Sounds cool. Sounds awesome. Gil, I bet you're seething. You were in Budapest last year or whenever it was?
That was before lockdown now. I'm trying to find out where it was we went. It was down by the river. It was just basically on the river on the We got up
was it in like a kind
we...
of big bubbly looking kind of building that kind of so is it called Jonash?
I think so.
For every Hungarian that's just heard me say that, by the way, I apologize. That's definitely not the way it's pronounced. But I think it was spelt Jonas, maybe? Jonash?
Yeah, that's it.
That's down by the river. Great little spot. You can kind of just sit there. The engineering university is directly across, which is a cool building across the Danube, and just sit there and have a few beers. It was cool. It's a cool little spot.
That's exactly where we were. We were there for me and Jamie, a friend of this parish. We were chatting the door, basically desperate to get in. We got up on the second morning after obviously first night and gone a bit hell for leather, and there was a group of people who were on the stag do came out. We were outside talking and looking and Googling where we were going to go. The guys who were there with no any of them bar us were really into craft beer at all. So we were like, we've got to escape here. Before anybody decides to do anything semi-organised, we're gone. And we were just about to jump in a taxi, just getting ready to turn the corner at the hotel to jump a taxi, and did a group of them not come out, and we're like, right, go, get in the taxi so we can get to this crap beer place. And then it was like phones off on airplane mode. Thirds upon thirds upon thirds, as much as we could get through, still rough. And some of the percentages were just wild though. And we're like, well, we need to try it.
So James just got back actually from being there a month or so ago. I went over
for a month ago. Yeah,
About a month ago, and he came back and he went, they like their beers really strong over there, eh? I was like, yeah. So they're sort of all six and a half, seven upwards, I'd say, most of them, aren't they? They're kind of...
God, when I went over, they were 8.
Yeah, so...
It's like Italy as well. It's like that whole continental thing. It's like, whenever they go for it, it's like, right, go. Yeah. It's like, everything's... Like everyone in Italy is double malted. Whenever you go, that's where the tenant support and things like that. It's like it's not a beer for like we would have it where you would have maybe a third or 2/3 and move on to something else or keep drinking beer. For them, it's like you need to go hell for leather. Otherwise, you're better. You're just almost like, well, just have the generic macro stuff. If you want something that's craft made, we're going to oomph, like it's going to have some serious boot up the arse for you, and it's going to be worthwhile, so we can charge the extra for it, kind of thing. It's almost like that's how they've managed to get people to drink it, because it's stronger there, as opposed to, well, I'll just drink normal stuff.
What I do like is they sell it by the 100 mil, so you can buy like one deciliter, two deciliters, three deciliters. You can literally walk in and go, sweet, 12% stout. Give me 100 deciliters, and then, you know, you're not trying to drink a half a pint, which, you know,
See, that's right. That sounds a lot better for me, because I'm not a massive stout drinker, but not at the same time, like, I appreciate the beers and, like, I'm happy to try them, but I don't want, like, if I have half a pint, I'm like, fuck this, man. Like, I want to try it, enjoy it, and go, right, okay, I appreciate what that beer is and what it's doing. Yes, it's nice, but it's not for me in terms of the style, or it is for me, and I go, right, I'll actually have a half.
The best one I had over there was, well, I say the best, but it's got a good kid kind of story associated with it, was we were in a bar, it's called Keg Bar, it's actually the other side of the river to where you were. And I asked Nikki, my missus, I was like, right, what's this flavoured beer? And she told me it was a rose-flavoured sour.
Oh, no. So
I was like, interesting, all right, cool, yeah, go on, give me some of that. So I think I got like a 300 deciliters or whatever. Started drinking it, I'm like, are you sure this is rose-flavoured? Like that to her. She said, why? I went, because it pretty much tastes like beetroot to me. And she was like, oh, yeah, no, it is beetroot flavoured. I was like, how many beers have you had? You can't even read the menu. It's in Hungarian. So now every Valentine's Day, she gets a bunch of beetroot.
Well played.
And my work here is done.
That's it.
Well played. Is there something, apart from that, that the serving size over there in Budapest, like you said, they go hell for leather in terms of their ABVs and stuff. Is there something that they're doing that we could be doing better over here, or we can bring it over that it's a little bit better and maybe more exciting?
Good question.
Oh, I've got a good
example. I mean, the serving size is great. I mean, I personally, I do love their kind of like, they're making some great IPAs. They really are. There's a brewery called Brew Your Mind, if you ever get a chance to try any of their beers. They're not actually in Budapest. They're south of Budapest near the big lake, and I can't remember what the place is called, but great brewery. You can get it in pretty much every craft beer bar in Budapest. They have a beer called Peach Please, which is one of my favourites. You had the double peach, please.
Have you ever tried to like duplicate those beers and try to make them at home?
So we make a beer called Peaches Apparel, which is I came back from Budapest and went, right, Peach Please, I need to make a beer similar to that. That was kind of like my inspiration. And we ended up making this beer called Peaches Apparel, which I don't know if you remember the Goonies, that you got the dude with the pinches of pal, which it started off for a while. I was like, I'm going to call it Peaches of Pal. And then it ended up being called. So we make that.
I've always found peach a kind of difficult flavour. It's really hit or miss, and oftentimes it can end up tasting quite artificial and stuff.
Well, ours is just hops, isn't it? So it's just hops and yeast, and it's what we got in that Enigma
and Amarillo.
And Amarillo
juicy yeast.
With a juicy yeast, but somehow it seems to just kind of come together to kind of give this peachiness.
That kind of flavour. Whenever I see peach, it's always guaranteed to be a hit or a miss. You know, I don't think I've ever had a sort of middle of the road sort of peach beer. It's either been brilliant or that's ganting. You know,
I agree with that. I mean, I don't know about you, but when you get those beers that kind of taste synthetic, it's kind of a bit off putting.
Watery, metallic-y, just usually done by BrewDog or something, but
hopefully ours doesn't taste like that. It's we actually haven't made it in a while, and we just stuck it back on at a couple of weeks ago, and people are going nuts for it in our taps room. They're like, "Oh, Peaches of Perils back, hallelujah!" Like, which we would have sent you a can, but we didn't have it in can at that point. So
don't you worry. I am strategically making appointments for work near Bournemouth.
We'll obviously let him know when you come down, and we can sink a few.
I'll be there. I don't know what just happened to my voice there. I'll be there at some point over the next couple of weeks, definitely. For you guys, kind of going forward, what should we kind of look out for? And like you said, James, you're kind of double brewing today. So what have we got coming soon, or what can you tell us anyway? What you've got coming soon.
What have we got coming soon that we can tell?
I think we kind of like blew our load pretty hard with making the resurrection for Brew London.
Yeah, we
kind of worked pretty hard.
We worked pretty hard on that. And then actually, you know, it's summer. We're like full in the swing of just doing events with our mobile vans, or I say van now because the other one. But that's fine. And, you know, both tap rooms are open. And for us, we're trying to grow our brand and just kind of spread our beer a bit further afield, really. So we finally got the capacity to do it. We're just trying to get ourselves into some places sort of a bit further afield from Bournemouth, ideally inside the M25, and, you know, further north, and just go from there. And I'm hoping off the back of that in 2 years, we'll have the same problem we've had for the last 6 years, and we need a bigger brewery. And we will address that. We get to it, so yeah.
worst problems to have, definitely. For anybody that is listening who wants to get hold of your beer, where would be the best place to do so?
So the wayoutback.co.uk, you can grab our beer on there on our online shop. Obviously, we sell our beer in our tap rooms. So we've got our tap room open 6 days a week. And then our pizzeria across the road, which also has 10 taps, is open Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. Other than that, we generally at the moment just sort of sell it to a bunch of farm shops and bottle shops and et cetera around this area. I think it's in ports. It's off the back of Brew London. We did a vanilla porter. Did you guys try that?
No.
Vanilla porter at the Brew London. We had that on.
I don't think I'd try that.
That was
we all went black IPA, didn't we?
You boys did the resurrection, the Cascadian Dark black IPA. Yes. Definitely did that.
Which, by the way, was fucking amazing.
That was unbelievable.
Thank you for that review. That's lovely. Yeah. we do a vanilla stout. So that's now available in Portsmouth at a place called The Vault. So I went down there and installed them a nitro line just because they wanted it so badly. They were like, yep, let's have this on constantly. So we're slinging that down there now as well. Hopefully start slinging it further afield, like I say, soon. So it's, we're finally at the capacity to do so. So it's, that's kind of what Brew London was about for us.
In terms of festivals for the rest of the year, where can we run into you as the summer
goes on?
We're
in a bunch of local festivals. We're doing a bunch of our own festivals here as well. So we like to close the road outside our place. We're doing a reggae festival in August.
Oh, awesome.
I went to Jamaica in January with the family. We come back, we're like, yeah, we need a reggae festival. So we might be brewing something special for that as well. That's on the cards. I'm trying to think what other events we're at. I actually don't get involved in that side of things. I leave that up to the misses, and we have an events manager, and that's pretty much what they do. But
send us a list. We'll put it on the social media pages and stuff. For people that are kicking around, they can go and check them out. Like I said, go to the website, thewayoutback.co.uk. If you've got a local bottle shop and they don't sell this beer, just tell them, go haul. Excuse me, Mr. Bottle Shop Man. Brew that you should buy, The Way Out Back. FYI. Point them in the direction.
We are also kind of working on, we're just trying to do some research as to what the youngest brewer in the UK is, but my son is 4.5. and if you ask him what the 3 stages of brewing are, he will. But how he knows this, he spent half term for a week in the brewery with James and I just helping us out. But how he knows the first step is mashing in, the second step, which he repeated this the next day after we taught him, is Vorloffing, which I was just like, I was like, what? Yeah. And then transferring. So we've got him for 6 weeks in the summer, and we're on the case to try and make him the youngest brewer in the UK. I feel
that sounds amazing.
It could be a thing.
It will be a thing. Incidentally, that's weird that you said that. I read something like 2 weeks ago, if not last week. And I can't remember what brewery it is, but there's a 16-year-old.
I feel like I read it as well. Yeah.
Like
I saw
16.
Something. I think it was 15, but then James seemed to come up with a statistic today saying someone was 10.
I found a. I found one at 10. I'm not much of a mathematician, but 5 is less than that.
Yep. Bingo. I think we're on to something there. Get the Guinness Book of Records knocking at your door, definitely.
That, and also, I don't know if you were there when James did the worm at Brew London as well. So I think the current world record for the longest worm was, what, 50-something metres?
It's just shy of 50.
Just shy of 50 metres. He easily did 25 with ease at Brew London, straight down the middle of the floor, and challenged the guys selling the... What were they selling next to us?
Hive Mind.
Hive Mind. They were selling,
Hive Mind Mead.
Yeah, Hive Mind Mead. So they had a worm off. And so we're going to try and smash that one before he goes back to New Zealand.
That makes sense. Just get that road shut. There's going to be 50 metres of road.
Yeah. That's the reason why the road's shut. Fuck the festival. It's a worm off.
Reggae festival with a little worm Guinness World Records thrown in the middle. Why not?
That's the name of the beer that's coming out. Worm. The worm off. Like I said, make sure you head to the website, thewayoutback.co.uk. Head over to the website, pick up some cans of this amazing beer. You're genuinely, honestly, I'm fairly confident I can speak for all three of us and that you will not be disappointed with anything you pick up from the Way Out Back. And like I said, make sure you hit up your local tap room as well and say hi. I'll tell you a brewery that you should buy and that you should get in. Way Out Back. Mm-hmm. Let them know. Let them know all about it. Make sure you go to the social media pages as well, Instagram and Facebook and stuff. Search The Way Out Back, like, follow and share all their content. While you're at it, you may as well search for the Beer Fridge podcast as well. Like, follow and share. Remember, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you subscribe and you hit that ding-a-ling-a-ling, the notification bell, to tell you of the next episode. You can show your support by dropping us a 5-star rating. It really helps us. Or if you want to show your official support, you can head to the Patreon page, patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. We can get access to exclusive content and much more, including our Discord page. New Discord page, FYI, where you can have a wee group chat. It's cool.
It's where the NSA...
You're pulling that funny face, Cal, but you fucking don't even have an Instagram or a fucking... A Bebo.
We can guarantee the CIA are on our Discord. That's
fucking
fuck social media.
There's no
unsocial media for Calm there. 100%. But yes, like I said, the home of the Beer Fridge podcast, real beer, real breweries, real opinions. James, Richard, awesome to have you guys in the podcast. It's been
thanks
great to catch up
beer.
With you again. Thank you very much for sending the beer. The beer has been fucking brilliant.
Sweet. If you're ever around, swing by. Come say hi.
Oh, I'm coming.
Gavin will be there.
Thanks, Jim.
Gavin's a pest.
Yep.
Thank you. If you see a white van with taps on the side, yet, go.
Yes, yes, 100%.
Go to the white van with the taps on the side.
The man with the van, he's got a plan, he's got some fucking cracking beer. Like I said, cheers guys for joining us, and until next time, the Beer Fridge podcast, real beer, real breweries, real opinions. Goodbye.